Real Presence Live.
I just want the Lord to show me his love so that I can love the people that he places in my care as a priest.
Local.
That's an empowering thing to make a difference wherever we are.
Engaging.
You're culturally Catholic. You have the things, you have the knowledge, but has it penetrated the heart? Mm-hmm.
Live.
Freedom of religion implies the ability to take that faith out into public life and to live it and to share it with others.
RPR Network. This is Michael Wilde, your host for this segment or this session today of Real Presence Live on this beautiful Thursday morning. We are excited for a whole lot of things. Grab your coffee and sit down and take a listen with us as we get in. And helping us out today in the booth will be our producer, Brandon Clark. Brandon, how are you this morning?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. How about you, Michael?
Excellent. Great to see you and your smiling face through the little glare on the booth glass that we got there.
Yeah,
what
you
do we
as
got
well.
Going on today?
Well, we have a pretty fantastic show lined up. First of all, we're going to talk with Jennifer Anderson. She's a clinical therapist with Catholic Charities North Dakota, and she's going to share what she believes the keys to successful communication in marriage are. Obviously, if you're married and you're listening here, you've probably had some trouble communicating with your spouse at some point in your marriage. And so we're going to hopefully get some tips here to help you out. And
Excellent.
Then, Michael, we have a very, very good story in Larry and Marilyn Suki.
Yeah.
They have been through marriage, divorce, federal prison time,
right.
Remarriage. So they've been through quite a lot in their 54 years of marriage, and they're going to share their story with us this morning.
So that's so cool.
We're pretty excited for that. Hispanic ministry, that's a big thing that came up at the Convocation of Catholic Leaders a few weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk with Anisabel Palma about her role with Hispanic ministry and how she reaches out to our Hispanic brothers and sisters. And then this coming Sunday, gospel reading is about the kingdom of heaven and what's it like. We'll talk with Father Brian Cuiava from the Diocese of Crookston about his takes on that. And then holding hands during the Our Father. What do you think about that if you're listening? Father Richard Kunst from the Diocese of Duluth is going to give his take in an article that he wrote in their diocesan publication a little later in the show. So stay tuned.
Great.
We've got a lot coming for you, and it should be a good time, Michael.
That is fabulous. Thanks so much, Brandon, for getting it all set up for us and for giving us the heads up on what's going on. And as Brandon mentioned, right here in the studio right now with us is Jennifer Anderson. Jennifer Aniston is here with us,
yes,
on Real Presence Live. No one would have expected
up.
It. I could see how. No, Jennifer Anderson is a clinical therapist with Catholic Charities in North Dakota, and she is working there at Catholic Charities North Dakota, based here in Fargo, and we're going to talk a little bit about the keys to successful communication in marriage. So welcome, Jennifer.
Yes, thank you very much. I also go to Wahpeton as well as for an outreach. We have counselors throughout North Dakota.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was reading something on your website about how many miles the folks in your just in your office at Catholic Charities travel to serve the people of North Dakota.
Definitely. Definitely a ministry. We love it.
That's great. And just to give our listeners some insight, Jennifer, I know that you've been working almost for 20 years at in counseling services of different types.
Mm-hmm.
And currently at Catholic Charities, you work with individuals, families, groups, and those with mental illness and addictions, as well as working with couples, which
yes.
is why you're here this morning.
Most definitely.
Yeah, and you've got a bachelor's in psychology, master's in social work. But today we are going to spend some time specifically speaking about your work with couples. Unless there's any other introduction that you would like for that we should know about you before we get rolling, why don't we get right into it and tell us what you've seen as far as couples that struggle with communication?
Yes, well, some major things that I've been seeing, some themes, there are a wide variety. What I've seen is some empty nesters that the last child has left the home and they're like, who are you? That they haven't even been talking to each other. There's young couples that perhaps their parents are too involved.
Sure.
There maybe kids, work, electronics is a huge thing. Addictions, family of origin, and perhaps some lack of role models on what a healthy marriage should look like. There are a lot of assumptions, some mind reading. Faith is very, very important. That becomes a stronghold. The evil one is trying to break up marriages so often. There's individual problems, certainly with depression, anxiety, personality problems. Mm-hmm. Emotional affairs, and obviously infidelity will get in there. They think the grass is always greener. And then there's Midwestern nice, passive, where we just don't talk about things. And,
sure.
But they'll talk about everything to everybody else. And then certainly the last thing that I've been seeing so much is sexual issues as far as pornography, masturbation, infidelity, impotence, aging, and hormones. So those are some big things, big issues that I see, but I have some overarching top five that okay. I see.
Sure.
First and foremost is faith. There, being different faiths or one is non-faith, that is number one, that there's a struggle in that. Number two is addictions. There's number three is that Midwestern nice passiveness. It is constantly going on in my couple's counseling. Number four is the individual problems. Healthy, husband, healthy wife equals a healthy marriage. And too often it's so lopsided and ignoring one and trying to fix the other or codependency issues. And the last one, number five, is family of origin. Those that parents, grandparents, and others are playing into and getting into the marriage as well.
So basically you're saying you don't have a whole lot for us to talk about during this half hour.
Yeah, really. Let's pick one and we could have a whole day.
Yeah, really. Any one of these five things we could spend a lot of time talking about. And, I think it's kind of the obvious question, but is communication really a big part of these five things, and how or why?
Yes, that is number one. Well, the opposite of communication would be ignoring each other. And many times they've assumed that that's how their spouse is going to answer or do again, so they just assume and then they don't do anything about it. They'll even sleep in separate bedrooms. They don't talk to each other. So opposite of communication is that. And as we age, communication becomes even more important, we need to rely on each other. I mean, when we get married, mm-hmm. it's the Holy Spirit. And so we are becoming one. And it's so important to communicate. And so communication can be verbal or written, body language, all that. But the ignoring part would be the opposite.
Sure, sure. And it is so kind of obvious to us when we stop and think about it. Anyone who's listening right now is like, of course communication is important. And I can tell you from my own experience, my parents communicate extremely well on some regards, mm-hmm. but not so well in other areas. And I think we all see that a little bit in different ways. One of the things that one of the teasers for today's show said was that marriages could be saved if spouses really learn to communicate. Is that true? I mean, are we over-exaggerating there?
No, it's very true. If you're both willing to communicate, that takes two to tango. I'll have, one spouse that'll say, we need help, we need help, we need help. Getting counseling, let's go and see our priest, etc. And it's going on for years. I have some clients like that right now. And if I could, but there's a whole ethical thing on bringing in that other spouse. But it does take two to tango. I'll have, some wives will actually sadly serve them for divorce, and then their husband will call in for counseling, and it's been years. It's like if I could have a frying pan or something, and so it's sometimes that it's takes too long to get there. But as you'll learn from our next guests, is that it's never too late.
That's true. And I look forward to speaking with that couple. That's the Sukis that we'll be talking about in a little bit. But, you know, I think everybody is interested in hearing these keys to communication and having an effective marriage discussion with their spouses. And I guess one of those things, as you were talking about those five key points, is where do they start? How do we start intentionally communicating with our wives or with our husbands?
Well, the keys to successful communication, I would say, first of all, is pray together. Many times, though, that our faith is dividing. So maybe it's the power of praying wife or power of praying husband or so. But praying together, respect and honesty. Being intentional about spending time together. I'll have couples, they'll think, well, I spend time with so-and-so, and they're sitting on the couch watching some TV. Well, they're just sitting there. But being intentional, being specific, mm-hmm. not making assumptions, using I statements instead of you, that's accusatory, and then we get defensive.
So give me an example of that. Someone using an I statement instead of a you statement?
Yeah. Well, let's say I would say, I feel hurt when you ignored me at the party.
Instead of just flat out saying, you ignored me at the party.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. You're owning your feelings and not pointing the finger. It deflates the defensiveness and
sure.
everything.
Sure, it makes it less aggressive or...
Exactly.
Okay, excellent. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off.
No,
there.
That's okay. Listen without, being defensive, like you said. Freely express positive feelings. And here's another thing is when your spouse pays you a compliment, mm-hmm. Accept it. Hmm. We downplay it all the time,
Sure.
And so receive it. Many times, it's a difficult thing to pay compliments when there's family of origin issues where you really didn't see or feel loved.
Mm.
How do you know how to love?
So you spend, when you talk about family of origin, we're talking about the families that each spouse grew up individually within, and if they didn't experience a lot of love or experience, wow, you look beautiful this morning, or whatever it might be, then it's very hard for them to take that and does it cause friction? Really, the compliments could potentially cause friction within
the group? It does. It's like, we take those compliments or however we communicate what is being said based on our experience from our past. And it's just observing what had happened, not beating up our parents or whatever. It's just, we each learn our different ways. So when a couple comes together and they're married, it's like you might as well one have lived on Mars or one speaking a total different language. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love the Five Love Languages by Dr. Gary Chapman.
Sure.
That's an excellent book to learn from as far as communication.
Because that shows us how to appreciate how one person loves maybe through, what are those five love languages? Contact or
words of affirmation.
Words of affirmation.
Physical touch. Oh gosh, no, I'm drawing a blank.
We can all look them up later. But
yes.
But so that's a good way for us to become aware of how each person expresses love and appreciates love in the different ways in the couple.
Yes.
So that is excellent for us to start to ponder as we're getting into this time talking with Jennifer Anderson from Catholic Charities North Dakota, learning about the keys to communication. And as we start to get near the next break here in a couple minutes, Jennifer, what are some ways, as we're talking about, you said being intentional about these conversations and that it can't really be one-sided. So as we go to the break, what can we ponder about ways to start to nudge your spouse? If you're the one, because the people that are listening actively right now are either the one or they're thinking, I should be the one. So if they're the one who is communicating well or interested in communicating well, what can we do to start that conversation with our spouses?
Well, admit that there's a problem. Get help from a professional, a priest, pastor, spiritual director, counselor. And then I also would suggest two things to wrap around with that individual or couple help would, depending on the level of problems in the marriage. So RetroVi, I have to put a big plug for RetroVi. That's French for rediscover. So R-E-T-R-O-U-V-A-I-L-L-E
Easy to spell, like any other French word.
Yes.
Yep.
Or else, and then the other one is Marriage Encounter, WWME.org.
That one's an easy one.
Yes.
WWME.org. And RetroVi. And also, a lot of these things, these resources are tremendous, and your diocese will have some links to them on their webpage as well. So look to those things. And really, as we continue this conversation, we're going to dig a little bit deeper into the steps for growing your communication in within your marriage, and really making sure that you are effective in doing so, not because your spouse is wrong or because you are right, but because we want to be better people for each other, and it makes life so much happier for each other, for our kids, for our parents sometimes. We'll continue to talk about that. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about how electronics play a part in it. Jennifer mentioned that a little bit ago.
Mm-hmm.
And look into that on the other side of this break. So thanks for being with us here for Real Presence Live, and stick with us here.
Stay with us. There's more Real Presence Live to come on the Real Presence Radio Network.
The Wanzek Family Foundation has proudly supported the mission of Real Presence Radio since 2004. With their help, we've been able to continue spreading Jesus Christ's message of hope throughout North Dakota, Minnesota, South Dakota, and Wisconsin. The Wanzek Family Foundation is dedicated to supporting Catholic initiatives and programs like our weekly local shows, Catholic Coach, and Real Presence Live. Thank you to the Wanzek Family Foundation for being a part of this family of faith and hope.
This is Father Chuck Huck from the Diocese of Crookston. Today, I'm meditating on the word forgiveness. If we could find it in our hearts to forgive, to let God's mercy flow in and take care of the hurts, forgiveness would be this bountiful joy that could come across the world. Sometimes I wonder, why is it that we clutch so hard, we cling to the hurt so much that it becomes part of us and we're unwilling to let it go? Forgiveness is the ability to place that hurt in the hands of God and let God deal with that, but to look at the other person as someone who has made a mistake, someone who has done something wrong and needs to be forgiven. Sometimes that person is ourselves. We need to be forgiven.
60 Seconds with Mother Angelica.
He said, there are many rooms in my Father's house, many degrees of glory. And I think this is so sweet of our Lord to do this, to say this. He said, if it were not, I should have told you that's why you believe, isn't it? Now, don't you feel bad because you question, you doubt? We can't doubt God. He said, if it was not true that there are many mansions in my Father, I would have told you. What humility our Lord has, huh? He didn't have to do that. He could have said, look, I'm God, believe it, or I'll just conk you on the head or something. That's what I would have said. I said, you guys got nerve.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
You're listening to Real Presence Radio. Now, back to Real Presence Live.
Thanks for sticking with us. This is Real Presence Live on this Thursday. I'm speaking with Jennifer Anderson from Catholic Charities North Dakota, and we're talking about the keys to successful communication in marriage. So, Jennifer, it caught my attention, and this wasn't quite one of the questions that I was going to ask you this morning, so I apologize if it's a little bit of a curveball, but you said that electronics can really impede our communication in relationships. How big of a deal is it?
Oh, it's huge. I think if social media, phone, internet, all that kind of stuff, gaming is not in a session, individual, couples, or children's, I would be surprised. For couples, sitting there and playing on their phone and thinking that that's okay. It's rude.
The two of them being together, yes. and one of them is playing, or both of them are playing on their phones?
It could be either one.
Sure.
I'll see that in the restaurants. I'll see that even in couples counseling. And with my teenagers, I'll put their phones in a timeout on my desk. And some adults, I do that as well. It's like, are you the president of the United States? Are you needing to, you know, answer the phone right now? And so the electronics, and more our phones are used for everything but using the phone to call somebody.
Sure, sure. And so they get in the way and they become an obstacle rather than a tool of communication.
Yeah. And texting too. Texting we can misconstrue what they're saying.
Sure. Yeah, it's even though it's a two-way communication, it's being interpreted each time by the reader, and that can cause some problems and not be very clear. So if I was, even though I might be sending a text to my wife, I could say, "Hey, Amy, I hope your day is just fine." And she might say, "Oh, just fine," right?
Exactly.
So it can be misconstrued all too often.
Yes.
That's a great thing, and I'm glad that you're drawing our attention to it. And not is this just for new couples, probably, that you're talking about?
No, it comes all over. So I say electronics. It's the TV.
Okay.
It's all, you know, we get into these ruts, and we've got the Archie Bunker chair, and they're sitting there, and just ignoring each other in the room. And they avoid saying anything. How about let's turn off the computers, turn off the TV, and have some one-on-one time.
Now, what about the benefits, though? I mean, my parents look at Facebook to find the pictures of the grandkids and see those things that are going on. Is that an okay thing to do, or should they avoid
definitely.
It altogether?
We just liked our Facebook picture on the Real Presence Radio thing, and so social media and the computers and TV and movies are fine, just in moderation.
Okay.
And doing things with intention. When I'm with my spouse, be with my spouse.
Sure. And, you know, I don't know if the people that are listening know this about me, but just recently celebrated my one-year anniversary with my wife, and one of the things that we've come to learn is that the time that I want to be on the computer or the phone is very different from the time that she wants to be. And so we're trying to get that in sync.
Yes.
And that's one of the ways that we can work for that. Are there other tips, just to wrap up the idea on communication or on electronics, that we should try and be aware of, or things that we should be thinking of?
Yeah. I mean, we can have a set amount of time, and maybe when our spouse is someplace else, you know, I work Wednesday evening, so that's my husband's man night or whatever.
Sure.
And so he'll do things, you know, where that I don't feel rejected or things like that. So it's with intention, and I plan, and it's not to, you know, get all distracted, then all of a sudden it's like 2 hours because I see some really silly YouTube video or something like that. And so with intention and just with boundaries, start and stop time and adhere to that.
Sure. And a lot of that has to do with just mutual respect and sensitivity that that a couple shares. And so
yes.
We certainly want to encourage that. And as we're looking into things, we talked about those 5 points. And with those 5 points that you said in the earlier half of the hour, or half of the segment, you said faith, addictions, Midwest nice as an issue, codependency, and family. Are those your 5 keys to success? Codependency doesn't sound like a key to success particularly.
Those are the top 5 struggles.
Top 5 struggles.
Yes.
Sorry about that. I got distracted and I'm like, wait a second, this can't be it. So what are the keys to successful communication in marriage?
Well, I had mentioned some of them earlier. Pray together, respect and honesty, being intentional with our time, using those I statements, avoid mind reading, freely expressing your positive feelings, and just being there for the moment without those distractions. We talked earlier about communication, and quite often, usually, one talks more than the other. So I'll use the old talking stick from the tribal traditions or things like that, or an egg timer, things like that.
Really?
Yeah.
I suppose I have one friend who's definitely very, very talkative and needs to maybe cut it a little bit short. And
would you say you talk more? That I mean, since you're on the
radio? I don't talk that much. Come on. Of course I do. Yes, I talk way more than my wife does.
And me too. I bet our spouses could talk about...
And probably put a timer on us. They're probably like, why don't you do that at home?
Exactly. But I do have my advice that as far as listening for those couples listening right now, that I thought I would share that.
Let's dive into that. What can you say to those that are listening right now?
Well, I would say that first to go to God in prayer. And if you can, go to adoration. Mm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Take a notebook. Okay. And it's all those ideas, all those things that are swimming in your head, and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in making a list of all those problems in your marriage and you as an individual.
Sure. Okay.
We make grocery lists, we make lists for Christmas presents. This is, you know, our marriage. It's
right.
One of the seven sacraments, and let's devote some more time here than our grocery and Christmas list here.
That's a great perspective to put on it. And adoration is so beautiful. God does the work so amazingly when we allow ourselves to be still and listen and be there present before Him.
Yeah.
Sometimes we busy ourselves with that. Even in that time, I have to say these prayers and those. So let's just, what you're saying there, Jennifer, is to put your prayers out there, ask God for that guidance of the Holy Spirit, write them down, and then take those back prayerfully with your spouse.
Exactly.
Beautiful.
Yeah, sometimes I'll ask the couples to go do that together if they both recognize there's a problem.
Sure.
If there's one, then there might be a different way that we need to approach, because let's say, you know, Susie brings this list to Sam and Sam's like, well, I don't agree with all that. There's usually that kind of problem. Then perhaps getting a professional or your pastor or your priest in with you for, we don't have to call it an intervention, but kind of an eye-opener with having a third party there.
Sure. Yeah. How do you know when the right time is to involve a professional, whether it be priest or a counselor like yourself?
Yeah.
When do we know to do that?
Well, if you've got about 50 self-help marriage books on your shelf and you haven't been able to improve your marriage, kind of that definition of insanity where you've tried and tried and tried, continue to do the same thing and expect a different result, that, okay, maybe there's something I'm doing and that they're doing, and we need somebody else to get in here. Somebody that will wave the white flag, to take a time out, to... Many times when I have a session with my couples, there's way too many individual issues that are playing into the marriage thing. So let's just kind of put a time out here and rule out some medical issues, other mental health stuff, and then work on some of the marriage. Because if we're two broken people, how do you work on
it's kind of like on the airlines where they say, in the event of emergency, fix your mask first before assisting those around
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
What else do you have for practical things? We've just got a couple minutes here, so we should probably move through.
Sure. Just having some boundaries and having some, you know, couple time, alone time, you know, family time. I have people that are way too overscheduled to have a family schedule, so the calendar's there, or a shared calendar, kids and everything. And the infidelity, addictions, all that is always on, you know, in the back of their mind, that the grass is always greener on the other side, and people give up. Mm-hmm. And it's where there's a brokenness between our Lord and us. And there's a brokenness that we turn to other vices or other people.
Sure.
And so the key is to minimize all that other external stuff. Look at ourselves, humble ourselves, get down on our knees to say, hey, help me, Lord. Help me be a better spouse to my spouse, and pray that they are. Because our goal is to get our spouse to heaven. And we hope that that's their goal, too.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. And that's such a great reminder for us. I mean, if we all had that perspective, my goal when I take my wedding vow is to bring my wife to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And then our children.
Yes.
But myself and my wife have to be on the track together. And that's such an important thing. So.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Well, the last thing is just the acronym of JOY,
Joy.
Jesus, others, yourself. Now, others, I want to say, is spouse.
Okay.
Kids, not I have to save the world and then myself. So we need to have that balance.
It's that close self.
Yes.
So if you want to experience joy in your marriage, Jesus, others, yourself is a beautiful acronym to know and to turn to. But that doesn't mean others as in the rest of the world. It just means for now, in this perspective, turn to Jesus first and then the close others in your family and yourself. Jennifer Anderson, thank you so much for joining us from Catholic Charities North Dakota. And you all are going to want to hear this next story. I can't believe all the things that this couple has been through. Stick with us for the next segment at Real Presence Live. Thanks so much.
Live, engaging, and local. That's Real Presence Live on the Real Presence Radio Network.
Programming on Real Presence Radio is sponsored in part by Mayo Pharmacy in Bismarck. At Mayo Pharmacy, we're proud to be here to serve you. We're pro-life and pro-family. We respect all human dignity while providing for your individual needs. And we're now remodeled with new Catholic gifts for all ages, including Mystic Monk Coffee, Holy Heroes Adventure Guides, and Cat Chat for Kids. Mayo Pharmacy, located at 303 North 4th Street in Bismarck. You can call 701-223-2424.
I'm 13 years old, and I love listening to Real Presence Radio. I especially love listening to Mother Angelica, because she helps me grow in my Catholic faith.
Hi, I recently took a trip from Maryland back home to Dickinson, North Dakota, and happened to be on a coach with approximately 15 other family members. And I remembered very quickly that I could use my Real Presence app on my phone and was able to listen to my favorite programs the entire way there. I appreciate it so much. Thank you, Real Presence Radio.
I used to listen to music on my drives, but I found it was empty in meaning to my soul. Now I listen to Real Presence Radio in every drive in the car in order to be spiritually uplifted throughout the day. I love that the kids learn about the faith along with me. Thank you for listening and supporting Real Presence Radio.
On 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope.
The sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. This commandment is wide-ranging in its implications. It forbids us not only from committing the very act of adultery, but also other sexual sins such as fornication or premarital sex, watching pornography, and speaking lewdly. Likewise, homosexual acts and acts of masturbation are also forbidden us. And the Lord himself even enjoins us to a purity of mind that we should not freely entertain lustful thoughts. And so it's wide-ranging, it's challenging, but it's in service of the great sacredness of human life, which comes from sexual activity. So we thank God for this great gift of sexuality, and we ask for his grace to live it with great reverence. The sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic. You're listening to Real Presence Live on the Real Presence Radio Network. Join in the conversation on our Facebook page and be sure to like us for more great Catholic content. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for sticking with us this morning on Real Presence Live. We had a wonderful conversation already with Jennifer Anderson about communication in marriage. But folks, this story that we have coming up here with Larry and Marilyn Suki is just astonishing, and I'm so excited that you're going to be with us to hear about it. They have been together for 54 years, and as you may have heard Brandon say earlier, they've been through a little bit of everything in marriage. I mean, we all think we've had bumps in the road, but has your spouse gone to prison? Have you had a lot of struggles with perhaps even separating or even divorce? Larry and Marilyn have, and they are here with us to tell us about that. So I'm super excited to hear a little bit more about them. And I just want to draw everybody's attention to yourcatholicradiostation.com. If you are looking for the details of this information, or you hear a part of this story that you want to share with your spouse, or with a loved one or a child, go ahead and go back to yourcatholicradiostation.com. After the show has been aired, it'll be a day or so maybe, but we'll have a podcast of this. And of course, there's re-airing sometimes too that happen of our shows on Saturdays. But we want to make sure that you know that there's resources. And in fact, we have started a little thing here that is, if you go to yourcatholicradiostation.com/InsideRPLive, that's R for real, P for presence, and the word live. So yourcatholicradiostation.com/InsideRPLive, you will get a chance to take a look at some of these articles that are out there that give you a little bit of more of the detailed information about who we're talking to or what they've said. So right now, I believe we've got Larry and Marilyn Suki on the phone. Are you there, folks?
Yes, we are.
Beautiful. Okay. And I know we've got a little bit of a sound issue, but I think we're all right. And hopefully our listeners can hear you just fine as we go through this. So as I was introducing a little bit, as Brandon was getting you on the line, I already gave a little bit of an overview here for the two of you, Mr. and Mrs. Suki. Welcome so much, or welcome to the show. We're so glad that you are here.
We're very glad to be here.
So you have had, to many of us, what would be described as an unbelievable journey in your 54 years. So let's not go all the way through it yet, but let's start at the beginning of that. Where did it all begin for the two of you? Walk us through those first few years, getting married and maybe even your first children.
Okay, well, we were we met late in May of 1960, and I've grown up on a farm south of Bismarck, Mandan, and graduated from Mandan High School, and we've been off to college. It was back during the following year. And anyway, we, my friends and I were cruising Maine and Bismarck on a beautiful May night, and we run into this group of girls. We knew they were from St. Mary's. And I'll have my wife take it from there.
Okay, well, I had a group of girls in my car, and they, about six of them, I would say. And,
six girls crammed into a car on Main,
yeah,
cruising Main Avenue.
Yeah, it was in the days of no seatbelts and all that stuff. So anyway, we were driving, but cruising Main, which was a real meeting place for a lot of people in those days. And so these boys came up in the car, and one of the girls in my car said, well, I know some of those guys. They're from Maine, and they're real nice guys. And so it was kind of left at that, and then we continued to drive around, and pretty soon these guys came back, and they wanted some girls for a picnic. They needed girls. They had all the food, they said, and everything, but we need girls to be on this to come to this picnic with us.
And, I'm so sorry, Marilyn. I don't mean to cut you off too much here, but so I just want to be clear that we're trying to clear up the sound a little bit, but also okay. I want to make sure that everybody's hearing that with the picnic. So they saw you while they were cruising Maine, and they said, hey, you want to come by this picnic? Now, is your phone on? Do you have us on speakerphone, Marilyn?
No.
Okay. Hmm. Don't know what it is. All right. So then what happened after? You went to the picnic.
Oh yeah, we eventually did. My friend, my best friend, and I held out till the last because we kind of didn't like the idea of being picked up on me. So it was just a thing with us. But we finally went to the picnic. We had a great time and we had a lot of fun. And I have to say that when I met all these guys, that the one particularly, I really kind of liked him. Because he talked a lot, and I talked a lot. So
now, that was Larry, or that was not Larry?
No, that was his friend. It was his friend. So that's the way that went. But I'll turn you back to Larry.
So, anyway, I was attracted to Marilyn right off on this picnic because she was very outgoing and full of joy and fun. And so, it was about 2 weeks later, I had found out her phone number from one of the other girls, And so I called her on a Friday evening and asked her out, and she had no clue who I was. And so anyway, I had to describe her by the fraternity jacket that I had been wearing that night. And so then she remembered, and so we went out, and everything went fine that night, and so we began to date steadily after that.
Wow.
And
yeah. That sounds like a great story to this love story that the two of you are sharing with us. And, you know, we really want to fix this so that we can make sure that all of our listeners are able to hear just fine. So we're going to take a quick little break here and see if we can't work something out. So stick with us here on Real Presence Live on your Catholic radio station.
I'm Monsignor James Shea, President of the University of Mary. With the Church, we at Mary believe that work and faith are not meant to be divided. That's why our new MBA in Virtuous Leadership draws upon the treasure of Catholic social teaching, including the work of Pope Leo XIII and St. John Paul II. Priced at a very affordable rate, you can earn your degree online in as little as 20 months. You can learn more at umary.edu/virtue. That's umary.edu/virtue.
This is Father Pfeiffer of the Diocese of Fargo, just taking a moment to reflect on the Holy Rosary. When we pray the Holy Rosary, we ask our Blessed Lady to pray for us now and at the hour of our death. As you meditate on the mysteries and you pray through the Rosary, every bead, who will you pray for? We can use the Rosary as a way to pray for others. For example, you might have a loved one who's going to die 60, 70, 80 years from now. Imagine if you said one Hail Mary for them every day, bringing them to Mary. You're asking Mary to pray for us now and at the hour of our death. Mary has the primary seat as the Queen of Heaven, because Jesus honors his mother and his father, as he showed us in the Gospel. Jesus will hear her prayers. She is closer to him than any one of us can be.
You're listening to Real Presence Live on the Real Presence Radio Network. Join in the conversation on our Facebook page and be sure to like us for more great Catholic content. Now, back to the show.
And we are back and happily fixed our little glitch there we were having with our sound. So we are back with Larry and Marilyn Suki from the Mandan Bismarck area. And we're hearing this beautiful love story. Sounds like a classic story of the two of them meeting while cruising Main Avenue and then ended up going out. Larry, you made that phone call, and you guys got together. You got married.
Yes, we dated then quite steadily. Marilyn was off to college at Mount Marty, and then she came home and... And let's see, I think it was summer of 60, and it was that Christmas, and we got engaged, and then we were married the following year in August of 62.
Okay.
And so,
I had graduated from Mount Marty College with a degree in teaching. It was one of those two-year lifetime things that don't really make much difference down the road, but I was able to teach on that, and I taught the first year.
Okay.
After I got out of college, and then I went on to teach after the first year of our marriage.
Okay, so you both were working then, right when you got married?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yes, Larry was helping his dad on the farm, and I was teaching at St. Bill's in Mandan the first year we were married.
Beautiful.
And then we had our first baby late July of 1963. She was a beautiful girl, and we just thought she was the absolute most awesome thing in our lives. We just we were just overcome with the miracle.
Sure.
And then we went on to have other children later. But then I also worked as a nurse's aide, and I did some nursing work as an aide, as a nurse and as a nurse's aide for the next few years after our baby was about 6 months old at that time. But I did stay home a long time.
Okay.
And I did, I put my share of it was, you know, cooking and doing home-cooked meals and all that stuff for our kids, so...
Sure. And so, Larry, what were you doing during that time as you were getting your career rolling?
Well, I was farming with my dad. And our first challenge came in July of 1964 when our first son, Larry Blaine, was born, but he was a stillborn.
Oh.
And so that was a real challenge for us. Marilyn was in the hospital for a while on that, and so I... arranged for the funeral and had a small funeral. And,
sure.
And so that was a tough one to get over, and we had to deal with that. But
sure.
I farmed during that time.
You two were strong in your faith during this time, or it was help you through the challenge with the stillbirth?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we were involved in our parish, and probably not near as much as what we are today by any means, but we always went to Mass and confession and those things.
Sure.
But I had always been gifted with, a mechanical mind and talent, and so... during those farming years, I did a lot of building of our own farm machinery.
Oh, okay.
And that kind of formed how I would probably work in years to come.
And so then we fast forward. I'm going to make you jump a little bit, just in interest of time that we have here. I wish we could spend a full hour with you folks. But let's jump to around 1978. What was going on then?
Well, 1978, we had moved to South Dakota, and first of all, I have to say, in 1959, after the first year of college, I got really sick and then had an operation and was diagnosed with Crohn's disease.
Wow.
And there was really nothing they could do with it at that time. So in 1965, in our third year of marriage... just after Christmas, I went in the hospital with another episode, and it was a major surgery. I had 25 feet of digestive tract removed, and it took me a little time to recover on that. But then in 1978, living in South Dakota, I got really sick, and I'd been working in a machine shop and could no longer work. And so then our local priest... came out to see me after Mass on Sunday and said, "Larry, we have to get you out of South Dakota. These doctors don't know what they're doing here, and we have to get you to Mayo Clinic." And so that's what happened. And
that sounds like a hardship because your livelihood is gone there. So how were you able to get to Mayo? That's not an easy jaunt back then.
Well, no, it wasn't, and. So this priest went before the following Sunday after Mass, and he told what was happening. And so he collected several thousand dollars, and he personally bought the plane trip for me down there. And so, and again, it was found out to be the Crohn's disease that was giving the trouble. I had surgery down there, and... But now I was to the point where nothing was working right because I had so much digestive tract removed, and so I had a hard time keeping anything in me. And so it was a recovery for, probably three quarters of a year there that nothing was happening. We had to actually go on food stamps and welfare to make it because we had no income. And
wow.
But we got through that with a lot of prayer and people helping us out. And
So that was another big challenge in our life.
And so at this point, when you're going through that, how many kids do you have?
Well, let's see. We would have had eight at this time.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And you're on food stamps. You've got no income. And everything is kind of tough for you. So, so what is the next thing that happens? What do you do in that despair with all of those challenges?
Well, as far as work was concerned, as I started to get better, I started to do work for local. We lived out in the country a ways, and so I started doing work for neighboring farmers.
Okay.
And then one farmer offered me his shop in a small town near us. And so then that was the beginning of my repair and machine shop.
Oh, okay.
And so me and my older boys, we worked in there, and we worked hard, and we kind of got on our feet. But it was in tough times. We were in the fifth year of a drought in South Dakota, and a lot of these people couldn't pay their bills, and so they would pay their bills by giving us milk or food products, meat, but that didn't pay for our electricity or rent. And so eventually we got to the point where we had to leave, and so we went to the oil fields in Montana. And so that's another story. That's probably too long to explain, but, you know, and eventually from there, after the oil boom crashed, right, 2 years after we got there, well, then we went to Williston, and we lived there for 20 years. And during the time in Williston, there was a lot of things going on. I was trying to get a shop established. I worked at several places at the same time. But I'm still having trouble with these checks, I was still getting into trouble with that. It seemed like I could never get ahead.
And we're going to pause there a little bit just to clarify trouble with these checks. I think we have to kind of explain what's going on there to our listeners who may not have read the article. You were counting on money to come in, it sounds like, but instead of the money coming in, either no money was coming in or you were getting paid in goods or services. And so you were sending out checks that really you couldn't cash, that you couldn't back.
Right.
Okay. And so now you're getting into a point where that's still happening when you're out in Williston.
Right.
And, did you get into any trouble for that?
Yes, quite a few times. And I spent some days in jail. But I just didn't seem like I could overcome that. I couldn't understand what was causing this and why I couldn't overcome it.
And Marilyn, what was going through your mind at this point?
Well, I talked to Larry about these things, but I didn't know to what extent the check problem was, because a lot of this he didn't discuss with me, and he kept it to himself, and he was able to do that quite a bit of the time. And so that made it a very big separation in our communication, you know.
Sure.
We weren't able to talk about these financial problems we were having. And I had already decided that I was going to have my own checking account in that. And so I was able to maintain things for the family and so on. And that's the way I did it. And maybe that wasn't the right thing to do, but that's what happened. I continue to pray for Larry, and I couldn't even come up with a prayer. I had to say, "Jesus, help me." It was just a one-liner sometimes.
That's a beautiful prayer, though.
Yeah, but it was giving it over to Jesus. But to say, "I could not do this. I don't know what to do." And I really didn't. I never believed in divorce. I hate divorce. But you know, eventually that was to happen.
Now this was after you'd written some bad checks. You'd gotten in trouble. You'd gotten fined, I imagine, or gotten put in prison.
Oh, yeah.
You said.
Well, that came a little bit later, but yeah.
Okay.
In 1992, I became sick again, went back to Mayo,
and then was declared disabled. And so then I couldn't lift much anymore. And so through the rehab program, they decided that what I could do would be, probably work with computers. And so
Wow. That
probably was some of my downfall. But so I bought myself a laptop, learned how to use it. And so from there on, I developed some businesses and on from there, it developed into other things. And so in some ways, that magnified the problems. As I tried to do projects, some I couldn't finish, and sometimes checks were written for supplies that I couldn't cover, and so the problem continued, and eventually was arrested and then found guilty and sent to federal prison.
And so then, Marilyn, is that the point? Was that the breaking point for you?
Actually, he left here. I asked him to leave in December 2005, and I divorced him in April of 2006. And the reason being is that Larry lied about a lot of the things he was doing, and he refused to discuss it. And I'm not blaming it all onto him, but this was, the lady before talked about communication. Well, mm-hmm. we were examples of good communication, let's put it that way. So I got my own checking account, and we had gone to Marriage Encounter, we had gone to Retrovi,
mm-hmm.
And they helped for a while. Can you understand that? It seemed like it helped, and we were going to be able to make it through with that, but financially speaking, I had to do this for my son, Ryan. My other children were growing.
Sure.
But my son, Ryan, lives with us, and so I had to do it for his future and mine.
And so we're speaking with Larry and Marilyn Suki. They've been together for 54 years, but we just heard that they were divorced. And so what changed, Larry? How did you kind of turn the corner and come back to Jesus, come back to Marilyn?
Well, in prison, it was a tough road. Although the first few weeks that I was in, and realized that I surely wasn't going to meet these charges, and so I just agreed that I was guilty, but I had been diagnosed with cancer at that time, and so. That's a whole other story, but after several weeks in jail, I just realized that I had lost everything, lost my wife, my family, everything I ever owned, and everything was gone. And I can remember I just cried and cried and got to the point where I was so weak I hadn't been eating, and I laid on the cell floor for about 3 days, and then on the third day I saw this light, and I looked up and over and I saw the face of Jesus with the crown of thorns and the blood running down his face, and he said, come follow me.
Wow.
And so from that point on, it was I knew that I had to do something, and at that point, peace came over me. Everything kind of just disappeared as far as the pain, and I started looking for ways to bring people to Jesus.
And wow. So
I did a lot of doing Bible studies while I was in prison.
Beautiful. Say, I hate to cut it short. We've only got a few seconds here to wrap up. And the ultimate end to the story was that you were able to get remarried, the two of you. You were reunited.
Mm-hmm.
And any quick advice that you would give to people that are struggling and wanting to get through a really difficult time in their marriage?
Well, I have to tell you that Our Lady of Guadalupe, we stood before her when we did become reconciled, and we stood before her and we held each other's hands, and a flood of forgiveness and love poured over us.
Wow.
Yeah. It was, I can't even say without crying, but anyway, we pray together. We say the Liturgy of the Hours every day, and we have to remember that each of us has Jesus in us, and that we have to laugh a lot, keep a good sense of humor, and live for others.
And I think that people that are having problems, and I'm talking especially to the men here, that when things are going wrong, is to seek help and
seek help indeed. And God bless you both. Thank you, Larry and Marilyn, for being with us on your Catholic Radio Station.com. Inside RP Live will help you find the details.